Hello, friends, and welcome to Everyday Truth with Kurt Skelly. We're here to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're studying the book of Romans and learning how the power of the gospel impacts every part of our lives. Now, let's join Kurt for today's episode.
Good morning, friends, and welcome back to today's episode of Everyday Truth, our penultimate episode. I love that word. The second to the last episode of our great series from the book of Romans. Hard to believe that we're here, but we are in verse number 21. And let me read the verse. The verse says, and then so rich to hear the Apostle Paul talking about all of these relationships. Now, we've already gone through the section where he greeted a bunch of people, and we derive some really good principles from that. God knows individuals, and people were cited for their work for God and thanked for their labor. And these were people that the Apostle Paul loved. Relationships matter. And we see a little bit more of that even today in verse number 21, where the Apostle Paul says, Timotheus, my work fellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. So Paul's already saluted them, say hey to this one, and greet that one, and be thankful for this one. But now in Romans 16 and verse 21, he says, now here are the people that are with me that are greeting you. And he begins with Timotheus, or Timothy. And Timothy, of course, when you think about the Apostle Paul and you think about his ongoing ministry beyond his death, you immediately think about Timothy. Now, Paul invested in numbers of people, as we have seen in this very chapter. But when it comes down to the way that he poured his life into somebody else, we even say today, boy, that person is my Timothy, or that person is a mentor to me. He's like my Paul. Well, Timothy was the one that the Apostle Paul, remember on that second missionary journey when they were traveling through Lystra, confirming the churches, it was Paul and Silas. The Bible says in Acts 16, him, Timothy, would Paul have to go with them. So even as a young man, Timothy was able to travel with, to learn from, to copy the patterns of the Apostle Paul. Some great passages in the scripture that help us to understand just exactly what that mentorship looked like. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose. You knew the persecutions and the afflictions that came unto me in Iconium and Antioch and Lystra and Derbe. And Paul said, Timothy, if anybody knows me, you know me. Not just because you've heard from me, but you've seen in me the Christian life. That's where mentorship really has its most effective power. That's in life on life. I think about what Paul told the Philippians. Remember in the first Roman imprisonment, Philippians was written after Romans, but Paul, when he eventually got to Rome, was under house arrest for a couple of years, and he wrote what we call the prison epistles. One of them, the letter to the Philippians. And in that letter, the Apostle Paul said, I have no man like-minded. That will naturally care for your state. I mean, nobody really thinks like me, and then he mentions Timothy. Timothy was just that special companion of the Apostle Paul. And here he introduces him to the Roman church as my work fellow. We would say today, he's my co-worker. And what a special designation that must have been to Timothy. This is not just some kid. This is not just my protege. Hey, he's my fellow worker. We're together. We're co-workers. And that's a great way to look at other believers. Not better than somebody else, not more important than somebody else, but we are co-laborers together with the Lord. So here in Romans 16, the Apostle Paul said, I'm grateful for Timothy, my work fellow. Then he mentions these others, Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, and he says they're my kinsmen. So these are fellow Jews. Remember, Paul said back in Romans 9, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my kinsmen. So a kinsman here refers not to a brother in Christ necessarily, although these are brothers in Christ, but to those that are fellow Jews. And that must have been a special blessing to Paul as well. Why? Because most Jews rejected Paul's preaching. Remember, he said, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. It seemed as if Paul did more to antagonize the Jews with his gospel message than he did to reach them. And so he must have been especially grateful when people that came from his same background, that had the same kind of hang-ups as he had in the Jewish religion, legitimately came to Christ. And here he lists three of them, Lucius and Jason and Sosipater. Then the Bible says in verse 22, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. So this is a personal greeting. This is not Paul greeting, but in essence, this is Tertius greeting the Romans himself. I, Tertius, greet you. You say, well, Kurt, I thought that Paul wrote the book of Romans. He did, but when we say that Paul wrote the book of Romans, what we mean is that he was the human author. God used him as the human author, but he didn't physically write the words. No, he had a secretary do that. And he did that in many of his letters. And yet here in Romans, we know who that was. That was Tertius. And he may have been Paul's secretary for others of the letters as well. But Paul presumably had really bad eyesight. To write was a difficulty to him. It says in the other letter, you see how large a letter I've written with mine own hand. And what he literally meant by that, how large letters I'm writing. So it was very distinctive when Paul maybe put a short greeting or signed his name. Why? Because he struggled, we believe, with his eyesight and therefore his ability to pen down the words. And yet, in spite of all this, God worked. And isn't it interesting that God uses our limitations, not as limitations, that's probably a poor word, but he uses what are our apparent disabilities to enhance his gospel. So here's Tertius. What a great opportunity for him to spend this extra time with Paul. What a great opportunity for him to be able to be the secretary and pen down these words and think about all that he learned. Because Paul had a limitation, this became a great opportunity for Tertius. I think about our own pastor, founding pastor here at Faith Baptist Church, Dr. Forrester, who started our church as a blind man. He's been fully blind since he was 9 years of age. And yet Dr. Forrester has said to me, what a blessing that my blindness was, especially in those early days of church planting, because I needed a driver to take me everywhere. Everywhere I went, I would need someone else to drive. And that was automatic discipleship time. So what we would view as a limitation, Dr. Forrester has seen as a great opportunity. And I see that here in Tertius as well. Look at verse number 23, where Paul says, Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church. So what does that mean, mine host? Well, probably what that means is that Paul was being housed by, partially funded by, fed by Gaius. And he said, well, what a blessing that this man has used his resources to bless me. And he must have been a man of great generosity and great resource, because the Apostle Paul said, he's not only my host, but is the host of the whole church. Perhaps there were people meeting in his home. Perhaps he hosted other people. Perhaps he funded some things for that local church. But what a great testimony that this man used his resources to bless this man of God, Paul, and the church of God. Then verse number 23. So Gaius salutes you, and then Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you, and Quartus, a brother. I want to just stay there for a moment on Erastus. If you go to my YouTube channel, Everyday Truth with Kurt Skelly, and go to the playlist section, and then look under the Israel playlist, you'll see I did a short video on what's called the Erastus Stone. So Erastus actually was a leader in Corinth, a political leader under Claudius, the emperor. He was the chamberlain, or the kind of the commissioner of public works in that city. And what's very interesting is archaeologists have found a stone in which there's an inscription, 7-inch large letters. I've been there. I've seen this, where Erastus, who had worked for the city and had retired or had moved on to another job, from his own money paid for some pavement outside of the theater in a very public place at Corinth. Now, the stone has been repurposed and it's now in another section of ancient Corinth. But the point is this, that this provides archaeological evidence to the person, to the position, and to the timing of the writing of the book of Acts, the writing of the book of Romans, the relationship that Paul has with Erastus. So here's a city official, a person of great means, who has been saved and is honoring the Lord. I find it interesting that when the Apostle Paul wrote his last letter from Rome, 2 Timothy chapter 4, he references Erastus yet again. So, wow, the scriptures are just amazing. And archaeology, as it is discovered incrementally, year upon year, always validates the authenticity of the Bible record. And then finally, the Bible says in verse 24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, that sounds as if that would be the end of the letter. And maybe humanly speaking, the Apostle Paul thought, yep, this is it. But then there's something else he wants to say. It's a doxological thing, something in praise to God. He doesn't want to end the letter just by saying, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you, amen. But he gets to thinking about all of what Romans has been about, all of what the book has covered, just how magnanimous that is for the reputation of God, just how wonderful it is for the reader and for those of us that have come to Christ. So he offers one last statement of praise to God. And we're going to cover that on our last episode, which is tomorrow. So I hope you'll join us for that. Thanks for joining today. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If you enjoy Everyday Truth, take a moment to subscribe or share the podcast with a friend. Until next time, God bless.